Blog Talk Radio.
My brothers and my sisters, welcome once again to the PRF table. This is your host, Dr. Nate Dunlap, and as always, we have sitting at the table with us Mary Ann Williams. We call her Mama around the table. Mama, how are you this evening?
I'm doing fine. I want to give a shout to my PRF family. Just doing well, thank you.
Amen, amen. Well, listen, tonight we're in our third segment, if you will, for the month, and we just really just said, you know what, this month we're going to kind of let our hair down. We're going to, now, those of y'all who know me know I'm bald headed, so I got to let the hair down on my beard, I guess. But we're going to let our hair down this month, and we're not bringing you an actual topic. We were really just trying to feed off the people this month, Mama. We wanted to kind of find out what was going on with people, right? Where are people at? We wanted to make sure that we had an opportunity just to listen. Just to sit back and hear what's going on in the communities. And so tonight we're going to be going into our third segment of open dialogue. And so that's what the theme, if we have to have a theme for this month, is open dialogue. And before we go any further, Mama, I really want us to just to take a moment just to reflect on something that happened today.
Okay.
Don't know if everybody has heard this or not, but one of the things that has happened today is down in Florida. And y'all know I've spent, over the last 6 months, I've spent a lot of time down in Florida, and several people died today. There was a pedestrian bridge that was by FIU, Florida International University. About 10,000 students actually attend that university. As a matter of fact, I was there in January handling some business. And so this bridge that goes over across, not necessarily a highway, but a stretch of the streets. I'm losing my train of thought. The streets, probably about six lanes on between both sides. And you know what a pedestrian bridge is. For those of y'all, some may be living in the city, I mean, some in the country, it's those bridges that prevent people from having to sit at stoplights. So you just go across them. That thing was almost 1,000 tons.
Mm.
Almost 1,000 tons. And it just collapsed. And this is it was part of a new construction. So it hadn't been a bridge that's been there for like 20 years. But I want to thank God. I want to thank God that the timing of this was not when the students were there. Right now, the students from down there, it's about 10,000 students go to that school, that university, and they're on spring break this week.
Mm,
here's what you
got to
know. I've been down there. I was down there on my last trip, actually at the campus, and it's amazing that if there had been students down there, because this was a regular time of the year, no telling how many of our children, young adults, would have been on that bridge, walking under that bridge. So several people have died, and so we just express our heart. We just express our heart right now to all of those families. Don't know if they've been able to get everybody from up. Mama, I mean, y'all, I don't know if everybody understand. A bridge collapsed.
Yeah.
I mean, it just fell straight down. And there was at least 6 cars underneath the bridge at the time that it collapsed. God. So, again, our PRF family, I can speak on behalf of every last one of us. From our board of directors, from our advisory council, from our servant leaders. Our hearts really go out to the families,
yeah,
the families. And not just the families, but also to the communities, the community. You got to think about it. You know, first it was Parkland, Florida, several weeks ago, with the children that was killed in the high school,
yes.
the school, and now another tragedy. You know, it lets us know that there's a lot of stuff going on in a lot of people's lives, and it's just necessary. We'll get to PRF stuff in a minute. I'm gonna say what I'm gonna say, but it's just necessary that we as God's people stop a lot of the foolishness, stop a lot of the foolish talk, engage in conversations that are meaningful, that are uplifting, that are going to do something to better people's lives. And so that's what we're going to be doing tonight, Mama. We're going to be just dealing with something that's going to be able to help the people. And so if this is your first time listening to us, if you want to jump into the conversation, just press 1 on your dial pad, 1 on your phone, and we'll bring you into the switchboard and we'll bring you into the conversation. So tonight, Mama, we're going to talk a little bit about something very basic. We're going to talk about stewardship. And I may be on stewardship for a little while. And one of the reasons why I could say we'll be on stewardship is because, again, I've been just really being very intentional about listening to other people. And was part of a conversation listening to something earlier. And so we were in a conversation or on another radio show. And I was just sitting there lying in the bed because I had a spiritual attack that affected my physical body. It was just bananas. I think it started on Wednesday, maybe Tuesday, I don't know. But I have not been right for the last couple of days. And, you know, I've been seeing some stuff about, you know, spiritual warfare and how we got to, you know, one sister, good friend of mine said, we got to stay prayed up because spiritual warfare is real. And I think about how when certain situations happen, when they come to us, that's not the time to get prepared.
Amen.
It's not the time to get prepared. You know, I have to, by virtue of my position and also because I love God, but I have to stay in a place of readiness. I can't be in a place of just being slowful. So I'm always trying to do my best in most cases of being a good steward over my time, over my physical body, over my household. I really try, and I put forth that good effort. I'm successful in some areas more than others. I'm more successful at some times versus some other times when other stuff is going on. Because I want God to be pleased with me as a steward over everything that He's given me in my hand to be able to use for the benefit of the kingdom and of this world.
Yes. Uh-huh.
And so I'm not going to beat anybody up today. I promise you I'm not. But we're going to talk about some basics. And the reason we have to talk about some basics when it comes to stewardship is because what I've been seeing, what I heard tonight on the previous radio show, what I've been watching, is there is a lack of stewardship. There's a lack of stewardship. And the thing that I know is this, at least from a PRF perspective, the principle of stewardship is God's principle. It's God's. And this principle of stewardship is the basis, is the foundation for everything else we do with PRF, Mama.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Stewardship is the basis for how you manage your credit and debt. Stewardship is the basis for why you have a will, why you have an advanced directive, why you have power of attorneys. Stewardship is the basis for how you plan and how you save. Stewardship, doggone it, is the basis for how you give and how you tithe. So it's the foundation. And listen, whenever we continue to see stuff kind of like getting out of control, as believers, there has to be somebody in the pack, somebody in the crowd that's able to say, okay, God, what's going on? Or maybe there's somebody in the crowd that God's going to say, I need you to get a message to my people. Because maybe they don't see what's going on, Mama. Maybe they don't see what's going on. And so I'm here to tell you today that stewardship is not really what's going on like it should be. Now, somebody in their flesh, probably not going to pay attention to it. But those of you who are not in your flesh right now, as we discuss some things for the next 20 minutes, and I said to Bishop Zimmerman, we got a phone call. Somebody's on the line, Mama. But as I said, you know what? We're gonna stick to our 30-minute time frame for tonight's show. And if I feel that there's still more that's bubbling up, then I'll go Facebook Live afterwards. We can keep it going after that. But we're gonna bring this first caller in. So caller from South Carolina, welcome to the PRF table.
Hey Doc, how are you? Hey Mama.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm coming on just to show some support and definitely in agreement with what you're saying, Dr. Dunlap. It's a shame
Amen.
That, you know, many leaders talk about stewardship, but they don't apply it. But I'm just here to say, you know, your spirit transfers over to a lot of your congregation. They don't see it by the leader.
Okay.
And they're not going to do it. You know, you may have a few that will go ahead and do it anyway, but the majority, it's disheartening to say, if we as leaders don't take that responsibility, don't be accountable, then how can we expect them?
So hopefully tonight, Bishop, and we're going to keep your microphone open and let you mute yourself on your end, and you can jump back in whenever you want. That's how we do it here. Prayerfully tonight, we're going to throw out just a little a nugget or two about stewardship. And one of the things that I'm going to continue to say is that we have to be willing, because God's not going to force us. God's not going to force any of us to take a look at yourself. He doesn't force it. He may use me as a vessel or any of us on this show tonight as a vessel to say, you got some things out of line, some things that's out of order. There's some areas or an area, it could be just one, that you're not being the best steward that you could be, because the whole nature and essence of stewardship is the successful management of something that has been entrusted to you. And so if one is not being a successful manager over something that has been entrusted to them, then they can't call themselves a steward. So therefore, Bishop Zimmerman, if you are not successful in that particular area, then as my pastor, as my religious leader, then I really don't have no business following you. I know it's a strong statement, but follow me. I really don't have no business following you if you're not able to be a successful manager over what God has given you, because that means your being unsuccessful is related to why I may not be successful. You can't tell me to be a successful steward over something when you're not a successful steward over something. Hence, let's talk about this money thing. There's too many of our pastors, too many in religious positions, too many that have steward over us. Their finances are not where they need to be, but yet have expectations of us to do things with our finances, hence primarily giving them to the church. That's not godlike. And so if one who is not the best steward, is not the best manager over the finances of the church or the resources of the church or the possessions of the church, then how can I expect you to teach me about those things? Something that Bishop Zimmerman said brings me to Matthew chapter 23, when Jesus stood before the crowd. So everybody was out there. Y'all heard me talk about this before, when he said, look, the teachers of the religious law, the Pharisees, they're the interpreters of the official interpreters of the law of Moses and of the prophets, or Moses, the law of Moses. They're the ones that know this stuff. So what Jesus was doing was not diminishing their position or their title. He's saying, yeah, they're it. So pastor, you're it. Bishop, not Bishop Zimmerman necessarily, but Bishop, you're it. You're it. You're the one. But then he goes on to tell them, so practice and obey whatever they tell you. So when they're giving you what they have the right to give you. They're giving you good and wholesome and truthful words of wisdom and knowledge and understanding from the Word of God, what the Spirit is giving them. Follow and obey those things. But then he tells them, and he doesn't mix his words. He says, but don't follow their example. That's not a did you understand that? What they're telling you is right. Yeah, mm-hmm. You should tithe. They're telling you, yeah, you should tithe, but don't follow their example. Well, hold on. What's their example? How do I know they're not doing it? Jesus said, for they don't practice what they teach. That's what Jesus said. And then he goes on to tell them they crush people with unbearable demands. And they never lift a finger to ease the burden. And the demands were not just regular demands. They were religious demands. So doing all this religious stuff, but don't follow their example. Don't follow their example. So listen, Mama, I wanted to see if you had anything you wanted to bring into the conversation before we just go on.
Okay, yes.
From where we are right now.
Yes, as you were saying, that to being a good steward, you know, I heard a song today, and it's saying, every breath that I take belongs to you. And that's everything in our lives belongs to God. So just summing up really what you were saying, that every area of our lives, you know, we need to examine ourselves, or I suggest we examine ourselves and find out the areas that we really need to be a good, need to know, because sometimes we don't understand or we don't even realize what areas we need to come up in. But pertaining to this subject here, and as you were just talking about examining yourself, we must, each individual, examine ourselves and find out from God, God, what areas do I need to come up in? If I say I want to be a good steward over everything that God has given me, well, then that's my life. So, God, you show me any area I need to come up in so I can be a good steward over it.
That's good, Mama. That's good. That's good. See, we have to, you know, Proverbs 11:2 says, first comes pride, then comes shame, but with humility there is wisdom. And so this is, I'm not going to say like some people say, this is the time. Every time somebody happens, this is the time to get your affairs in order. Every time something happens, this is the time. No, it's been time. But we just have another opportunity right now because we got breath left in our body. And so one of the scriptures that is known by a lot of people regarding stewardship is the story of the talents, right? He gave one five, gave another two, and gave another one one. And then the master goes away and comes back, and the one with five, you know, invested his money. The one with two invested his money. The one with one put the money in a hole, and then the master came back. We've heard that so much.
Yes,
we've heard
yes.
that so much. But I like to start at a place where we just deal with what's real with just a basic understanding. And I think the best thing to do is start with two people that most of us know well. I don't care what religion you are. Everybody know Adam and Eve, right?
Yes.
So why not just start there? Why not start there, right? Because a lot of people don't look at Adam and Eve from a stewardship perspective. But I'm going to tell you, that is a very good place to start off with understanding where we are. See, when you start talking about who you are, you know, Adam was the first creation that God put on this earth. And then you say because Adam sinned, then that God needed to send Jesus back, or send Jesus so he could reconcile man back to God. Several of you who are listening that are my fellow clergy, men and women, have said that we're the you know, when that happened, we've become the second, or talked about the second Adam when that happened. All that stuff. Okay, so let's go back to Adam. Let's go back to the garden. Because, see, sometimes it's hard to look at this whole principle of stewardship when everything is going. But God is not giving any excuses. That's a hard one for most people to swallow. He's not giving anybody any excuses for the lack of stewardship. And so if you take a look, let's take a look in the second chapter of, well, no, let's go to the first chapter. Let's go to the first chapter. In the first chapter, when he talks about, let us make man in mankind, in our image and after our likeness, and he talks about how they will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the air, the livestock, all the wild animals, all the creepy things. He said they will reign.
Yes.
And so we have to first understand this, that as a creation created by the Creator, creation was created in the image of God and after their likeness, that by nature of us coming from Adam, right, because everything came from Adam, right, first human beings, that the ability to be a good steward, part of the nature of God. I'm not saying that's the text, but let's just think about it for a moment. Let's use these wonderful brains that God has put in all our heads. You have to say, if you were created in the image of God and after his after their likeness, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, if you believe in the Trinity, then you have to say that this is what we're supposed to be doing. He says he's given us, he created them so he can reign. So there's no excuses saying that you're a Christian or saying that you're a believer, but not being a good steward. No, there's no excuses. No excuses. I know that don't sound good. I know that may be kind of elementary to everybody, but it is what it is. And so then when you go into the second chapter, this is what happens in the second chapter of Genesis. Because now we're talking about when he planted God. God planted a garden in the east. He didn't say in the north, he didn't say in the south, he didn't say in the west, he said in the east, right? And he said, and it was there that he placed man that he made. So he created man, and then he placed man in that place, in the east, in the garden. And it says, the Lord God made all sorts of trees growing up from the ground, trees that were beautiful, and those that produced delicious fruit. Talks about the tree of life, tree of knowledge of good and evil. But so let's go back to this whole notion of the garden of Eden in the east. If you take that there was an east, why is there a distinguishing identifier of the east if there was no west, south, or north? Now, y'all can talk back to me tonight because I'm throwing it out there. Why didn't he just give him over everything? Y'all are quiet tonight. Well, let's think about this. Go to the 15th verse of Genesis. 15th verse of Genesis says, the Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. Then it says, the Lord God warned him, you may freely eat of the tree of every tree in the garden except for the tree of knowledge of good and evil. If you eat this fruit, you'll surely die. Then after that, that's when he caused man to fall asleep. That's when Eve came on the scene. But listen to what he says in verse 15. The Lord God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to tend and to watch over it. So the first thing, when you go back and you look at what was said, what the conversation that was had back in Genesis 1:26, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and they will reign, they will have dominion. So he has already spoken what was going to be before he actually did it. So here we are sitting on the earth as believers with no excuses from God because he's given us dominion. So I'm going ahead of myself. So it shouldn't be hard. It shouldn't be hard to manage certain things in this world, right? It shouldn't be hard. But maybe that's because there's not the identity of who you are in God. See, a lot of times people talk about who we are in Christ. But remember, God, the central focus of everything, is God. And so we can take just the Jesus perspective without looking at all the stuff and all the examples of stewardship that God has given us before Jesus came on the scene, then it should be harder for you to understand the principles of stewardship. When all you're thinking about, all you got in your framework, your theological thinking is based upon the parable. I'm going to probably go to 8:45 tonight and leave Facebook Live alone, because this is going to be, we got to get some people free tonight. So think about this. If he gave them the garden in the east, and it purposely tells us it was in the east, do you really believe that there was nothing in the north, nothing in the south, nothing in the west? That there was just nothing else, everything else was just desolate? Because, see, when you go back to the beginning, and it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was on the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And then it goes through how all these things were created. What it does not tell us, Mama, I really doubt that you will find a theologian or a biblical scholar that would tell you that what God created during those 6 days was only the Garden of Eden. The earth was not the Garden of Eden. So the earth was full. The waters was not just the Garden of Eden. It was the earth. No matter that there was not inhabitants all over the place outside of Africa, it doesn't matter. God created it. But the whole thing is this. God didn't give Adam everything. He only gave him a garden in the east. Why would God not give him everything? Maybe God didn't give him everything because he needed to see how he was going to do with what he gave.
Handle. Mm-hmm. I guess right.
Here's one of the things that people got to understand. That whatever you have, God is only giving you a portion. God ain't giving you everything. You don't have every wife. You don't have every husband. You don't have every car. You don't have every house. You just got a portion of whatever it is. You're not the smartest person in the world. There's other folks that's smart just like you. So everything that God gives us is a portion. And what God is looking to see is, what God is looking to see is, how are you going to do what you do with your portion?
Yes.
And so the question before us is this. In being a good steward, in being a steward, period, what is it? What is it that you know you're not being the best steward over, that God has given you charge to keep and to hold and to manage and to watch over? What is it? And then the next question is, the first question is, what is it that God has given you? Next question is, what do you want to do to become a better steward over what God has given you? Those are two questions. Those are two questions. So listen, Mama, we're going to end it there. No, we're not going to keep going. We're going to end it there. I want to end on those two questions. Somebody post them on the Facebook page. Let's continue the conversation. I may come back in a minute on Facebook Live. Who knows? But let's start there. Let's start this whole transformation, this whole evaluative process of of stewardship, because there's a need for us to relook at some stuff. And I can tell you firsthand that it's not easy when you start asking questions about stewardship, because there's a couple of things that go along with that. It's not just something that you do. It's some things that you have to learn. See, Adam was given the natural ability to be able to do what he was able to do in the garden with everything God has given him dominion. But we live in a world where sin is already there, where the playing field is not level in most cases, where resources are not allocated equally and fairly. And so therefore, since those are things that are naturally in most of our societies, then we have to learn about stewardship with a specific context. And oftentimes the context is not the context of the world, it's the context of our lone little small world. So with that, we're gonna go ahead and go for the night, Mama. We're just gonna say thank you to everybody. I know we took a few moments at the beginning of the show to just, you know, mention those individuals down in Florida. But we want everybody just to tune in with us next week. Next week, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the PRF table. And also know tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Kimberly Salas will host her show, Your Health is Your Wealth. So tune in to her and listen, because she is, if you thought the PRF table was good, nah, we don't have nothing on the health, Your Health is Your Wealth. She does it. She is a natural at it. She is a better steward because of the ability that she has inside of her. So we're going to talk to y'all. See y'all tomorrow, hopefully at the PRF table. And just follow us on Facebook. The PRF Institute is how you can follow us on Facebook. And check out our website, prfministry.org. And we'll see you next week here at the PRF table, or tomorrow, or if I come on Facebook, Dr. Nate Dunlap Jr. is how you can find me on Facebook. All right, Mama, we'll talk to you later. God bless y'all.
Okay.